We don't come to church just to go through the motions and play church. We come to hear the voice of Almighty God. We come to be used of God as a body of believers. It's not all about the pastor and what he says, right? I'm glad. It puts too much pressure on me. And I don't like that kind of pressure. All right, now today, I'm going to enlist Dave, and I hope he's going to have to keep up with me up on the board here. I got, 40, 50 pictures that I'm going to show you as I preach. He's going to have to flow with me as I preach. And this is going to be a challenge for Dave. I don't expect him to be perfect all the time on where he's at. But you know, today, I have to apologize for Brother Karani. He was supposed to be here from Kenya. But he's not here. And he's not here because they have experienced a famine because of a terrible drought that's been going on. It's into the third year now. I looked at some of this. The news is not getting this out, but if you take time after the service, not while I'm talking, to Google it, you're going to see some terrible conditions. I got a few pictures at the end. But Brother Karani has a heart for God. I'm going to talk a little bit about this at the end of my message today. He decided he would not spend money flying here and trying to get support and whatever, because he needed to be with his people. That is his highest priority. So he's not here. I decided to choose this day to honor our missionaries. And there's newer people in the church, and I don't know if you know some of the people we support. But I want to encourage you that every time that plate is passed, that when you sow money, at least 10% goes to our missionaries. This church tithes. And I want you to be encouraged today that where that money goes, despite anything that's going on, it's going around the world and in the United States. We kind of have about a 50-50 split. We support missionaries in this country and out of this country. But I want you to be confident today after I go through these missionaries so you know where your money's going. Now, the first thing I want to do is, who is on the missions committee? Will you please stand up? People on the commissions committee, don't be shy, Linda. Stand up. Some of you on the missions committee, I think we have, don't we have one or two more? They're not the only two. Mickey's one of them, I think. These people, and I want you to honor them today, because they work diligently to contact our missionaries. They're responsible to know what's going on in the field, if there's any problems, if there's something we need to correct, and they're responsible for that so that they can report to the board, so we can make intelligent decisions on who we support and how we support them. So I you know, that's my heartbeat. I've been on that committee for a long time, and I love missions. I've always believed at some point in my life I'll be one of them, but that's up to God. But we have criteria in our church. We don't just start supporting anybody who comes in and sounds good. And I'm going to give you quickly this criteria. First, any missionary we support must be agreeable to the main tenets of the faith of the gospel. The main tenets of the faith, something long held in this church and our bylaws, is that we should have the main important tenets of the faith. You guys know what main tenets mean, what that means? Ron, can you tell us what they are? Because I've been looking at you. You know what that is. Tell us what those main tenets are to the best of your remembrance.
There are seven essentials of faith that we
the resurrection of the body and the second coming.
So these are things that are so essential that we can't get into. Because you'll have churches that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You have churches that even don't believe in the virgin birth of Mary. But these are very key, very important essentials.
There you go. And even a week or two ago, I had you read the Apostles' Creed together. But we don't send anybody out if they're not sound in the faith and believe in Jesus Christ, who he is, and the record of Christ biblically. There's no point in supporting somebody if they don't believe that. They must be called and dedicated to the call of an apostle. An apostle, A lot of people think it's limited just the ones Christ chose. But apostle simply means one sent. And that apostle goes out and establishes doctrine and establishes a work somewhere, especially where there is none. Blazes the trail. We always called Paul an apostle for that very reason. He went into Greece. He went all over parts of Asia and established doctrine and established the church. So they got to be called to that. They must be of good reputation and good moral character. There's nothing worse than hearing about a missionary that's fallen into deep sin, has brought reproach to Christ. So we keep up on that. They must be filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit in accordance to the command of Jesus to be empowered before leaving their own Jerusalem. You know, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you be empowered from on high. There's an importance for you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're going to go out. So that's what we encourage in our missionaries. Number five, and this is very important, they must be accountable to other Christian leadership and have a suitable covering in the body of Christ. They can't just be out there floating doing their own thing with nobody they're accountable to. I'm not going to go down that road. I knew of a missionary once that was not, and he ended up a shipwreck. So we require our missionaries to have a suitable covering, a church covering, a group of responsible Christians that oversee that they are accountable to as God sets the hierarchy in order. And every one of our missionaries that we currently support today fill all that criteria. So I want you to know more about them today and be encouraged that Corinth Church is doing its part in the fulfillment of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to observe all that the Lord has commanded. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't normally go off this path, but I really believe I should. If you are listening on the website, if you happen to get this message past today, I want you to listen carefully to the description of each missionary. If God tugs on your heart to support them, we have a PayPal account, right? Jamie, do we have a... There's something on our website that you can support these missionaries. And it's so important to lift their arms up. So if you're listening by the website, keep an ear to the ground and pray about it, because they can always use your support if you want to preach the gospel and help propagate it around the world. So the first person, all right, Dave, I don't want to keep leaning over. We're going to talk about Bruce Richardson. Bruce Richardson. Bruce Richardson submits to the covering of Facilitators International, and his office is in Greenwood, Indiana. Is a picture of him up there? I kind of had a funny, and thank God for Denise, because when I was making these pictures, they were about the size of a postage stamp, and she showed me how to expand them. So I do hope that they're expanding. Okay, good. I can kind of see what's going on. Bruce Richardson. Facilitators International identifies key mission training centers and provides scholarships to those key future missionaries in the developing world. They assist and train up leaders from these countries so that they might help raise up strong churches in these countries. They have been successful in many troubled parts of the world, such as Iran, which is a very hard place to penetrate, and currently insisting there's a great move of God going on in parts of India right now. You can look at their website, Facilitators International, Google that, and you'll see that. Excuse me. So they actually help train up leaders in the fivefold ministry to establish and have strong churches in some of these countries that need it desperately. Bruce lives right in Greenwood. That's where his office is. He also works for State Farm Insurance as well. So he's a working man. But this ministry, and I'm going to have scripture. If we don't have scripture to back up each ministry we support and what they're doing, we shouldn't be supporting them, right? But here's what the Word says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And He, which is God, Himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's their mission statement. They're raising people up and training them to have a complete body of Christ in parts of the world where they need it the most. And of course, Jesus said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even to the end, always, even to the end of the world. So no matter where people are sent, Jesus goes with them. He don't just say, go out there, and leaves them abandoned like an orphan. And that's the same with you all today. Personal comments about Bruce, I've known him for years. He is steady as a rock. He's sets his sight on something. He has a single eye and he goes there. When he comes in here and speaks, and we're probably due to have him in here pretty soon, I mean, he has a purpose. Bruce was the guy that showed up on Channel 59 in the news because he died, what, two or three times. And the paramedics couldn't understand how he lived. God brought him back to life. He had an episode and died. And God brought him back to life in front of their very eyes. And it shook him up so bad that it got all over the news. Well, we know who did that, right? We know who raises from the dead. I pray for more of them kind of miracles in these last days, the raising of the dead. But Bruce is using this now to show people that Jesus is alive. And another neat thing, now Bruce's home church is Grace Assembly of God in Greenwood. And that's his covering as well, and he's got a board with Facilitators International. And they also work with Missions Committee of the World Evangelical Alliance. But Grace Assembly, and this is always a very good sign, they support Bruce to the hilt. They're fully behind him. And that's always comforting for another church to know that, I mean, they know him. He fellowships there. And they have confidence. So that's always good. So he has a lot of covering. And so we appreciate Bruce. All right. How are we doing? Brian and Jenny Evans. Oh, wait. Let's look at some of these pictures. Just kind of flow with me, Dave, as I'm talking. That's Iran. If you notice their flag. A lot's going on in Iran. This is a part of Myanmar where they've been able to reach there too. Go ahead and to the next one. And I'm just going to ask you to kind of flow in. Okay, now we're to the next missionary. Now as I'm speaking, Dave, just kind of slowly go through the slides. If I want to go back to one, we will. Brian and Jenny Evans, they submit to the covering of Campus Crusade for Christ. Now how many of you know about Campus Crusade for Christ? They've been around. Oh, good. Very established ministry. And they got all a huge vision statement. But if I'm going to sum it up, Campus Crusade for Christ takes the scripture very personally when Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." They emphasize in their workers to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so they can witness. They're on campuses all across 2,300 campuses. They go to the inner cities. They're in 109 countries. Campus Crusade for Christ also has an athletic ministry that they reach out to even our professional athletes. When you put money in the offering plate, some of that goes to this organization, and you never know. Who knows who they might be reaching? Your favorite athlete, you never know. Maybe Andrew Luck's going to get a little ministry from them. I don't know. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this with another missionary. The Jesus film. They have been responsible for putting that Jesus film around the world. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But Brian and Jenny Evans are in Rome, Italy. We're not there to them yet, Dave. Back up one, okay? There. That's where I want you to be. Rome, Italy. And Rome's a tough place. And when they first went there, I thought, oh, wow. I have to be honest, I really didn't want them there because it's a hard place. I've been to second, third world countries where they're so hungry for the gospel. But how many of you know people in Rome who are steeped in religion need Jesus too? And they've been there, and then something else opened up. Syria blew wide open with bloodshed, and people fled Syria. A lot of Muslims fled there because they were being killed. And they went there. So now there's been an open door for Brian and Jenny Evans to minister to refugees that come out from Syria. And this is, you need to really pray for them because I believe Rome could be the very seat of what God calls the Whore of Babylon in Revelation. Now, a lot of people believe different ways about that, right? But that's a hard place. They need your prayers. And as we travel slowly through Revelation on Wednesday nights, this is in Revelation 17. And I've got a diagram around. And there are seven hills. And they've always been noted as the city that sits on seven hills, seven mountains throughout centuries. That's referred to Rome. And here's what God says in Revelation. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. This is disturbing, isn't it, church? Drunken with the blood of the saints. In other words, this system killed a lot of Christians. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, Wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and was not, and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, if you know anything about church history, if you could read through the Dark Ages, multitudes, read Fox's Book of Martyrs of all the people that were killed in the name of religion because they did not agree with their doctrine, or they were translating the Bible in another. Read the life of Wycliffe, for one. He burned at the stake. So this evil system, religion can kill and persecute true Christians. This is what happened to Jesus when he was crucified. It was the people in the temple. The Romans did what they wanted. They didn't really know what to do with Jesus. But it was the religious people in the temple that killed him. So Brian and Jeminy Evans are in a system that's tough. They're dealing with a lot of spirits, a lot of religious spirits in that area. So please, please pray for them in the name of Jesus. All right, Gary and Joy, wait a minute, let me see. I got to go to the next one now. Anthony and Diana, boy, I want to call his last, it's Pecelli, S-P-E-C, it's some Italian thing that I don't understand. Spesali, I always call him, and he's good natured, I always call him Anthony Spaghetti because I don't know how else to say it. He just got married to this beautiful young lady. And I mentioned earlier the Jesus film. He also submits to the covering of Campus Crusade for Christ. So we have two missionaries that are under very good coverings. And this Jesus film, you can see what they're doing here. They're showing it on the overhead to the masses. I saw this in action in El Salvador on the streets. Leela got a hold of that thing, and we showed it on the streets of El Salvador, San Salvador. Very effective. And his job is to promote and propagate this film around the world. He's also a pilot, and he can at any given time be flown somewhere to help coordinate that and show that. He's a very great servant of God. He comes in here occasionally just to support our church. He also lives on the south side. So he's with the Jesus Film Project, and he's our completely new missionary. He's our brand new one that we just started supporting. And there is nothing more solid than this Jesus film. It has been responsible for winning hundreds of thousands and even millions of people to Christ around the world since it came out. It's been out for decades. And it's a great film. We showed it on the streets in a big screen. San Salvador roped off a whole section. I don't know if they do that in America nowadays for Jesus, but they did. And it was so very effective. It was one of the things I really remember from visiting Leela. So that's very effective. So pray for him. He's doing a great work, him and his wife. And they are bringing the message of the cross to masses in all kinds of different languages. You understand, every week when we pass this plate and you put money in, you are helping propagate the gospel to these places. And you may not know this side of heaven unless the Holy Ghost shows you just how effective your gifting is. Now we're going to go to Africa. Gary and Joy Freeman. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. This is Gary and Joy and their family. Gary's father lives in North Salem. And people we picked, we didn't just pick random strangers often. We picked people we knew. His father used to go to this church. They submit to the covering of SIM. It's S-I-M, which means serving in missions. And they're serving Jesus Christ in the country of Niger, Africa. Gary recently wrote us a letter and said that he was slowly stepping out. And he wanted us to reevaluate our support because he wanted to be honest. I'm not going to really be there, but my wife is staying there. And it wasn't long till we find out he just couldn't stay away and he went back again. They've been in our church, and I want to tell you, they are solid people. They have their act together. Niger is not a safe country. The Muslims are pushing in there, and they're persecuting and killing people. But they have chosen to stay. This organization he's covering them is an international missions organization with more than 4,000 workers serving in more than 70 countries. SIM members serve God among many diverse people and groups in every continent. Now, what SIM encourages is that when they go to these countries, and I want you to hold that frame right there because I'm going to talk a little bit about her, about Joy. When they go to these countries, they encourage them to find and get a secular job that they can do in that country because they want to show the people they're not just living off of people. So Gary and Joy Freeman, they started teaching people basic stuff like we would in our elementary school. And then they set up a Bible school for the purpose of establishing a church. And they've been there a while. Now, Joy, if you want to talk about dedication, we get up and we have our aches and pains. She has that on her head, not because she's trying to not offend a Muslim, it's because she's been battling cancer. She has been battling cancer, and she refuses to leave the mission field. She's serving God no matter what. And I believe Joy feels like, well, if I go from this thing, I'm going to go serving God. But she's trusting God. Pray for her complete healing. Now that, I've not seen, I mean, other than Leela serving, and she's 80-some years old, she stays there and she keeps serving. That's a dedicated servant. So they're called in SIM to actually be a part of the community and work with their hands and do that while they minister the gospel. Great organization. And Paul said this, because Paul did the same thing. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. To the weak became I as weak. There is nothing worse than going into a third world country and seeing a missionary living high on the hog while all these people are living in the dirt. It's not a good... And this is what Paul was saying. To the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. He wasn't going to live. Paul did not live above people. He actually became to their level. I always have a struggle in churches, not only get on a preach here, but when you know you have the average income, it might be an inner city church or something, and here comes a pastor coming up in a Lamborghini. There's something wrong with that. You have to humble yourself and be with your people. And that's why Brother Karani's not here. And I'll get to him in a little bit. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Do you think I'm going to go to Hallville and witness to people on the street and wear a suit and tie? Seriously? No. There's nothing sinful about not wearing a suit and tie. I'm going to relate to those people. Now, I'm not going to relate to anything sinful, but I'm not going to go to a high place in Carmel dressed like I'm ready for a wrestling match. You have to become all things for all men to save some. And this organization, and what Gary and Joy Freeman does is they live with their people and they become part of their society and their culture. How many of you know when I went to Thailand, my sister Mary had to school me because I could not sit with my foot like this. They could not see the bottom of my feet. You know why? It's the same thing over there as giving somebody the middle finger here. In Buddhist culture, the bottom of the feet are nasty, the head is holy. So if I sat there as a Christian, I got my foot up like this, I'm flipping everybody off in the room. You think I'm going to tell them about Jesus? You got to know that stuff. You got to understand the culture. I'm sure Marvin can tell you about, and Kathy can tell you about Brazil. They have their own things. In Guatemala, you know, you can't talk with your hands behind the pulpit because this means the same thing. You can't jab with your fingers. If somebody's cut off in the city in traffic, that's what they do to you. They jab their hand, and that's a bad gesture. I don't want to do it anymore because I'm too used to that culture because I feel like I'm doing it. So you become all things, and that's what Gary and Joy Freeman have done for years in Niger. And they have gotten in with their people and lived in their village and taught them, and they're loved by their people. Now, here's the next person, Leela McNabb, and I could spend 5 hours talking about Leela. She's dear to my heart. You can go on to the next frame, or go on further here, Dave, if you can. If it gets too piled up on the bottom, you might have to delete them down below. All right, there's Leela. She would hate that me showing that picture because she's so close up. But Leela McNabb, as you know, has been in El Salvador for a long time, over 30 years. She left as a school teacher at 50-some years old, and she serves in El Salvador quite faithfully, but she submits to the covering of Living Water Teaching headquarters, and their headquarters are in Cato Mills, Texas, and they have another headquarter in Latin America in Quetzaltenango. We commonly call it Shayla, way up in the mountains. Now, the vision of Living Water Teaching actually came from a direct word from the Holy Spirit. This is kind of unusual. You know how ministries have their vision statement. They sit around, let's think of a good statement. Let's think of something that sounds good. Well, they were in prayer when this started, and a word from the Holy Ghost came directly from God, and he gave them. And this is what their vision statement is. And it's in the first person of God. God said to them, convert my people to the word, not to religion. Number two, train them in righteousness. Number three, show them by example my power to change lives by giving spiritual conditioning to their spirits by the way of the word. In other words, demonstrate my power to the people on the streets. Pray for people to be healed and delivered. Number four, you are to train my sent ones to go on and do greater than I have as in John 14:12, which says, the same works that I do, even greater works can you do because I go to the Father that I do. Do greater than I have shown you by building on your errors and successes. In other words, this organization, God's telling them, you're going to have errors, you're going to make mistakes, but guess what? I am with you, and I'll turn every mistake, everything that you've goofed up on, and I'm going to turn it into a success, and trust me in this. And that's a good word for people out here today. Number five, the vision is transferable, but my commission is not. You are to carry it forth into all of Latin America, which they have now done. Number six, I love this one. Trouble the waters of Latin America as the angel troubled the waters of Bethesda. Trouble them with faith, healing, and salvation. So that's why I believe if I ever go on the mission field, that's who God has partnered me to be with, because it is the book of Acts demonstrated on the street. And they're very effective. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Oh my goodness, I love that passage so much, because it doesn't depend on how eloquently I talk up here. Because how many of you know I sometimes get things tangled up? The power of the Holy Spirit has to be behind what you're saying. He has to be backing it up. And Ron and I were just talking about that before church started. Leela McNabb serves the women in El Salvador, ministers to them by the word of God and also the children. She visits the hospitals, does open-air evangelism, and even goes to the military when she's allowed to go. I have watched her get out in places that most human beings would be scared to death. And she goes fearlessly under the power of the Lord, knowing that he has assigned angels around her. Now, El Salvador, go ahead and click to the last one. I think I have this at the end, Dave. MS-13 is there, the gang MS-13. Okay, there you go. I almost debated whether to show this, but this has been in all the media. The worst, one of the worst gangs in the entire world comes out of where Leela is, San Salvador. And they penetrated this country. They've caused a lot of problems. They kill people. But how many of you know that they need Jesus too? Sometimes God can move in the most horrific of people and raise them up to demonstrate his power, and they can become the strongest saints of God. How many of you know the Apostle Paul went about murdering Christians before he became the Apostle Paul? And now he became one of the greatest men of all time, propagating the gospel. MS-13, they're praying that God will move in a strong move by his spirit there. Now, I want you to pray for Leela because she came down with a virus. She's slowly getting better. She's still up here in the States. But pray for her healing because she's frustrated and she can't wait to get back down there. And now she's in her mid-80s. And some of you complain that you just can't do this or that and you're young. But she's just so unhappy. She knows where she's supposed to be. So pray for her healing. The teens went up recently. We went about her and she's getting better. But pray for Leela. Now, I've been down there working with that ministry. I know that ministry through and through, and I'm so thankful our church took them on and sowed seed into that. Let's go to Udell and Janet Myers. He was here. Him and his wife were here not long ago. The Marine, Vietnam veteran, serving down in Pensacola to our troops. And man, I can tell you, he fired off scripture just like a machine gun, didn't he? Boom, 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 boom. I don't know if James was here. Was you here that day? Yeah, I figured you'd like that guy. He submits to the covering of Christian Military Fellowship, and it's based out of Englewood, Colorado. And in their statement, they say they lovingly make disciples by encouraging men and women in the United States Armed Forces and their families to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Military Fellowship involves all elements of that society, including all ranks, family members, and civilian employees. Now, I looked for scripture because I thought, what did you say to the military? And I'm sure there's more because David had armies in the Old Testament under the law. But as you come into the New Covenant, and there's a lot of churches that do not believe in military or fighting. Quakers don't, they call them pacifists. They don't believe that God calls for a military. So they don't support the military. Quakers and Amish and those folks don't. But I did find some scripture. I found John the Baptist talking to the troops back in the day. And this is what John the Baptist said. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him. They asked John the Baptist, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man." And he wasn't telling them not to be a soldier. He was just saying, "Don't, when you're in a village, don't go rape and plunder the village," because that was commonplace back then and sometimes now. He says, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." What does that tell me? He didn't tell them to stop being soldiers. He said, "Be content with your wages." So I fall on the other side because Ecclesiastes says there is a time for war and a time for peace. We just want to pray that we're on the right side, not the side that may be hurting people or invading countries and doing bad stuff. So Janet and Udell Myers serve in Pensacola, Florida, at the naval base there. Have you got to the Blue Angels yet? How many of you seen the Blue Angels before? Isn't that incredible? I lived right on the river in Evansville, and sometimes during their Freedom Festival in the summer, I don't know if you ever went down to Evansville, Mary, to the Freedom Festival, but they had the Blue Angels come in, and they would fly along, and my apartment was right on the river. And they would fly along that river and just shoot straight up in the air. It was almost unbelievable to watch that. Their formations were so perfect. One upside down and one right side up, all kinds of stuff. Janet and Udell Myers are down there ministering to these people. These pilots are trained in the most perfect of senses to do this. So they reach out to our young troops with the gospel and stability of the family, using their home for Bible studies, fellowship meals, and counseling. Now, Janet is old school. You know, when I first saw her, I thought, oh, she's a little Pentecostal lady. She had the little, looked like she had the bun, you know. God love her. But she is so dedicated to Christ, and she doesn't want us getting away from the Word. So she takes the women soldiers, and she sees something in her society where the family unit has fallen apart. The roles are all falling apart. And she wants to instill this into the women. And something we don't preach about a lot in church. And it says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they might teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers in home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." That's in Titus 2, 3 through 5, if you think I just made that up. It's quiet in here. But Janet Myers tries to instill that structure. because it's so necessary in raising children properly. They need to see two parents that love them and stay with them. They need to see that faithful family unit, and each person has a role. And she works hard at that, and I have to admit, it's hard for her nowadays. So pray for them. Now let's go on to life centers. Life centers, right up the road here. If you take 1,000 north out here, go on up the road, about 3 miles to the right is the headquarters of Life Centers in Indianapolis. And that's the head of Life Centers, heads it up here, Tom Chevlot. The mission of Life Centers is to affirm the value of life by providing a network of care to those experiencing pregnancy-related decisions by compassionately presenting biblical truth resulting in changed lives to the glory of God. I can tell you, when Dennis Dodson was here, some brave things Dennis did. Pastor Dennis Dodson, he's still in the area. But Dennis Dodson, when this church was part of a big denomination, found out that that they were supporting Planned Parenthood, could no longer give money in the plate from our church, because part of the offering from Corinth was going into that organization and going to that organization. And the brave congregation of Corinth Church in the early 70s decided they had to break out of that denomination. They could no longer do that by conscience. And it was a war. It was hard. There was kind of a holy war. I'm not going to tell you the details of it. But it was rough. But they stood firm. This church has firm roots in pro-life. And I think that Dennis, if he only, I've got to talk to Dennis about this, if he only knew that we have carried that vision and we are supporting a group of people that promote life. And something about Life Centers that I like better than any other organization I've found that does this is they also give people the gospel. They are responsible. God has worked through them for thousands of people being saved while they counsel them. They don't just try to talk them out of abortion. They also give them life. They give them the gospel. And you can look on their website and see the number of people that have made decisions for Christ. It's in the thousands. And how many young human lives that have been saved through this organization. And when you put money in the plate, you help save lives. And it's not just temporarily on this earth, but it's for eternity. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." This is what he said to Jeremiah. How many of you know before you were born, he had a plan for you? He knew you were going to be on this earth. I don't care how you were conceived. God still had a plan for you. And he knew you were coming, and he loves you so very much. He proclaims this in his word. What I know about Tom Chevlot, who heads this organization and has to be responsible under their covering, I know him because he used to work at AT&T where I worked. He's a fellow, I can spot a fellow phone company guy a mile away. We used to joke and say everybody that worked for Bell had a bell-shaped head. Now, he doesn't have a bell-shaped head. But Tom Chevlot worked for the phone company. And as he retired, he decided he would go full-time for God. Very dedicated, humble man of God. A few years ago when he was in here ministering, we sang a song and he began to weep. Right over there close to where Darlene was sitting, he began to weep. I think he might have been on the front pew. And I thought, what's going on? He later told me that God used that song to minister comfort because his mother had died. And that was her favorite hymn, favorite song. Just a very wonderful person. So be encouraged. I hope you're getting encouraged because these people we support, this is a small church. We don't have the big budget. But we also know the importance of propagating the gospel around the world, saving souls. Forever. All right, now I'm going to go to Corinth Church Prison Ministry is what I call it. All right, we're going to stop there. Does that guy look familiar to anybody here? That's Barney Chamorro. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. This is an in-house ministry, and I go to prisons. I do not get a salary from Corinth Church to do it. I get a main salary for being pastor. I use part of that salary, and I sow into this. Now, they will reimburse me if I give them expenses, and I just don't, I've been really pulling back and not doing that anymore. I want this as a love gift from me, and I'm not, I don't want to say that in the wrong way, but there are men and women in prison today that have broken lives, and if you knew what they went through in their own life, you wouldn't judge them. This man, well, yeah, this, stay right there. This man here, Barney committed to triple murder in Whitestown with a knife. He went berserk. And I'm not going to go into details, but in the beginning, he kept telling people he didn't do it, and he finally confessed. And he wouldn't talk to me about it. But later on, he began to open up. And he's at the point, and I want you to pray for this man. Write his name down, and please pray for him. Because I just am determined not to give up till he has really given life to Jesus. But at first, he's at the place now where he don't think God can forgive him because he's now owned up to what he's done. He feels terrible. He can't undo it. He says that his twin brother, which is one of them he killed, follows him around the cell and haunts him. But he thinks God will never forgive him. And I am working hard to convince him, and it's only going to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And he's starting to break now because he's opened up to me about his childhood in Nicaragua and all the some things that happened to him which were horrific. Horrific things that really allowed demon spirits to enter into this man. And he needs free of them. One time visiting him, all I did in my mind was just start binding spirits in the name of Jesus, and he almost went into a full-blown manifestation. He didn't know what was happening. He began to shake, and I had to back off because I knew the guards were coming and drag him off if I kept it up. They would not know what was going on, but he needs delivered. And he's a soul, and he's beginning to feel very, very sorry for what he did, but he doesn't know what to do with it. I know the one who paid the price for that on the cross. Go on to the next person. People, this is the man, Gail's not here, that held Gail up at the bank I was telling you about. And he has received the good news. And you look at him, you wouldn't think, he don't look like a bank robber, does he? But he's a great guy. And he may never get out of prison. He's got other things to face in Ohio. But I told you about bearing your cross. And that's one of the people. I mean, Gail had a gun to her head by him. But we decided to love him. And as a result, he's received. Go on to the next one. I'm not going to show you. These are some of the men I visit. Go on to the next one if you can. This fella was in Bloomington. And I'm not going to go to the whole story, but he took a sword and went right through a college professor on his front porch that was his professor a few years ago. And there's a reason behind that. Some bad things happen. But he's in down by north of Vincennes. He's down at that prison. And he's been very hard to minister to because he used to be into witchcraft and a lot of stuff. And I'm showing you this because people, Christianity isn't just some pristine thing where you come in and pew and hope people come in and we only want the nice people here. We have to get our hands dirty. We have to reach and rescue people like this that are in the clutches of Satan. I don't know if I have any more. Do I have any more up there? I don't think I put too many. But, oh, okay, this is another fella up for murder. He looks like the guy on the right. He looks like a distinguished fella. But he's got himself. Oh, don't stay right there. Don't go off of this fella. The last fella, another case, and the last fella has received Christ. So that's a positive. But he's going to be in for a long time. This fella, do you know who this is? Because Davis talked with him. This is Nicholas Zupko. Nicholas is out now. He went out, went back in, come back out. He's telling me, he's promising me, he's going to get in a church. He claims to know the Lord, but he gets weak. He gets out and goes back to around his people at home and falls back into problems and ends up, he's never been in serious crimes, but enough to get him in prison. Right now, he's a friend. We're friends on Facebook. We talk on the phone. He lives up by Chicago. And I'm trying to help him along. It wouldn't be bad if you got in touch with him. Because Dave has helped minister to these people. The prison ministry. And of course, I submit to the covering of Corinth Church and the Assemblies of God International. But this is a ministry of our church that I hope keeps going even if I'm not here someday. I hope that this church continues to reach prisoners because Jesus said this. And the basis of the conviction I have of this comes from Matthew 25, 34 through 36. And some of the inmates that I have visited have got out and they show up in here. Know that, right? Because I introduce it. We talk about their lives, and you need to pray for all of them. This is not an easy ministry. This is a ministry that first you've got to get in contact with them. You got to talk to them about their broken lives. You got to get them to receive Jesus if they haven't. And then if they get out, here's the hard part. If you come out with a felon, you know how hard it is to get a job? No one wants to hire you. The very thing you need the most to reform you and help you, people will not. And I understand that. Then you got to rent someplace. Who's going to rent to a felon? Every deck, every card in the deck is stacked against these people. And then if they go into the church world, a lot of the churches want to judge them. And I put a stake in the ground years ago that Corinth Church would never be that kind of church. Because Jesus said this, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.'" And it is high time the church gets off their high and lofty perch and start reaching to the people that Satan's beat up the most and tried to kill. Because guess what, church? Some of the ones Satan go after the most are the ones that he knows, if they ever got turned on to Jesus, would turn the world upside down. I know some of these men in my land, yeah, they're rough and tumble. Oh, wow, but boy, if you get converted to Christ, look out, devil. Because that's how it works. And so I'm not going to give up on people like Nicholas. He's kind of a frustration to me because he doesn't always take my advice. But pray for him. I have about 11 men that I currently see in Putnamville, Wabash Valley, Pendleton, Westville, Newcastle, Miami County, Plainfield, and Branchville down by Tell City. So if you wonder what I do in my spare time, I pastor a church, and I will not let these men go. I keep in contact with them. It involves writing letters. It involves sending them things they need. How many of you think in prison that they're laying around by a pool and they got a TV and they got it good? How many of you believe that? It is not true. They have to depend on people to give them commissary for even things sometimes like soap because they don't give them enough. Or food. Or a little tiny TV this big that they can have in their cell. So I help these guys with this because they're human beings. And you might say, "Kevin, they've done bad crimes. They don't deserve anything." Well, guess what? Is there anybody here that can tell me you deserve heaven because you're so good? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all deserve eternal damnation, separation from God, because we are all sinners. So I pour my life into these people. And no, they don't always respond, but there are some that do. And so I pray that this ministry will continue in this church on, that God will call people to have that compassion in heart. All right. Now we're going to go to the last one. Brother Karani. Well, I did not realize what kind of a person this man is. He's going to get back on track. He's there we go. You got to sometimes delete a lot of the other pictures or it won't go forward. Brother Karani, and his name is Wachira. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Karani. He submits to the covering of the Assemblies of God International and is from and serves in the nation of Kenya, Africa. The Assemblies of God organization is a Christian organization that was birthed in the Azusa Street outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the early 1900s here in the United States. Common churches we know that are in the Assemblies of God are Lakeview Church over here on the west side of Indianapolis, who's planted churches all over the place. There's a Glad Tidings, it used to be called Glad Tidings, I don't know what it's called now, on the south side of Brownsburg. Assemblies of God churches are all over the place. They're a good organization. I think that they're slowly losing their fire, but they're a good organization. I am ordained through the Assemblies of God International, so I know about the organization. He's an avid church planter and soul winner. Formerly, I'm not going to say that. I think I've changed my mind, Chet, on that one. But he has connections in the government, and they've given him favor. I'll put it that way. His life is amazing. He was like an orphan when he was a kid. And God moved him and guided his life. Brother Karani is overseas in the Assemblies of God, all their churches all over Kenya and neighboring countries, some of those too. He oversees them, and he has planted church after church after church. I want to go there someday. I do. He's convinced me. I want to go see. Whenever a missionary says, "Come, work with me, see my work," it's always a good comfort because they're not hiding what they're doing. They're not afraid to say, look, this is the work that you're supporting. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. If anybody has done that, it is Wachira Karani. And the last time he was here a year ago, he said, I can't talk like him too well. He goes, Kevin, I hold back. Did not know what your church could take. And I said, when you come next time, don't hold back. Let her rip. He has seen people demon-possessed actually fly through the air and had to bind the spirits and they hit the ground, not hurt. He's seen all kinds, even has a video of that. He has seen so much witchcraft over there and things that it's unbelievable, but that's a normal day in the life of Christians in Kenya, in Africa. It's good soil. And he wanted to be here, but he could not. I mean, he could have came here, but he decided that money needs to be spent on his people. Go on to the next frame. Kenya is experiencing a drought and a famine. And I had a lot of gross pictures. That's the only real gross one I'm going to show you. Animals are dropping and dying. They can't feed them. There's no rain, especially in the northern part of the country. That's what the ground looks like. And we think we have problems here. Your problems are this big in so many ways compared to what Christians and people face around the world. There's a line for just water alone. Brother Karani, this started a few years ago. He talked to me about it last year, and now it's gotten to a crisis point. This is what I read in the news. Possibly 1 million people may be facing starvation as the ongoing drought takes place and takes its toll in northern Kenya. Kosatai sublocation chief Jack Ronai said deaths linked to hunger have been reported, and I can't pronounce the town, in three different towns where a number of people have died. He described the famine situation as dire and called for urgent distribution of relief food to avert more death. Livestock are dying in mass because of the conditions. You need to pray for Kenya. You need to pray for our missionary there, Brother Karani. He's serious about the gospel. He's the kind of man that if he was facing death, he would go to death for other people. Is there any more frames? Is that the last one? I think he got to the end of him. What I'm going to do at the end of this service, I don't want to end in a bummer note, a sad note, but I do want to tell you this. I planned on giving him a special offering when he came, but he has stayed home. I've got buckets on each side of the church, and when we dismiss to go back to our fellowship meal here in a few minutes, I want you to find something that you can give for that man, because we're going to send it directly to him. 100% of this is going to go to help these people. And it's now time for Brother Karani to show the love of Christ, not just be somebody who oversees a bunch of churches, because his people are dying, and they're dying spiritually and physically. So find it in your heart to give a love gift to him today. I'm not, you know me, I don't preach for money, especially I would never want to do it for myself. But I have no problem asking for love gifts for these people. Okay? I have no problem doing that. Here's where we're at. As I see, and not all good Christian people see the end times the same way. Jesus said, work. For the time comes when no man can work. And we are propagating by your love gifts the gospel around the world and in this country. It makes me feel so good for this church. A little church this size supporting this many missionaries. The good news is that as we're living in prophetic days now, the culmination of all things I think is at hand. In the church, he wants to make the church rise up in full power. In these last days, he doesn't want the church to be weak. And Jesus did talk about, when I come back, will I find faith on earth? We don't have to be that way. There is a place in Daniel, it says, but the people that know their God will be strong and do great exploits. How many of you want to be those people? We're living in prophetic times. We're going to close out with this song, and then we'll close out a prayer of dismissal back here. But I want you to be encouraged today. Despite all the crazy problems we have, sometimes even in our church, sometimes we get tied up in all kinds of goofy things, be encouraged because we're propagating the gospel. And I'm so thankful that you people do it. And Marvin wanted me to mention too, his son Michael is where he's going to be in Nigeria and South Africa. Nigeria's neighbors, I think, Kenya, if I know my map correctly. So he's going to be seeing some of this if he's in the right places near Kenya. It'll be interesting to see what he sees. So pray for Michael. You know God's going to use him over there mightily. Amen.